The Lord be with you.
With
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord. What is the one thing the world needs most right now? It's peace, isn't it? Pope Leo's talked a lot about it in his first few weeks. But once again, pointing to his departure, Jesus offers his disciples one word, peace. He appears three times, and his first words are always, "Peace be with you." It is not the peace of the world. It is the genuine and lasting peace. Our best efforts usually result in ceasefires and cold wars. At worst, the atrocities we are seeing in the world today in Ukraine and Gaza, but also ethnic cleansing in several other places in the world, usually all the time. This is a peace that is genuine and lasting. And when was the last time you knew it, even if just for a moment? We have personal tensions in our lives with relationships, business, family. We have trauma from our past. Justice and right and wrong are politicized. There's a great deal of uncertainty today with the economy, the cost of living. We just got over a global pandemic. How could that be possible? And now we're faced with a crisis of truth. We might be able to catch a moment of peace here and there, but it is so fragile. Jesus gives this peace that is genuine and lasting. To the one who follows Jesus' commandment of love, the Son and the Father come to dwell, and the Holy Spirit explains all the truth that Jesus has given to us. In God's Trinity is the true, unshakable peace. The disciples are sent out to the world to be peacemakers. The church must be the place of peace in a world without peace. Even within the church, internal problems which cause tensions must be overcome, but can only be resolved under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, in prayer to the Holy Spirit, in obedience to the Holy Spirit. Already in the apostolic period, there were deep divisions between the Jewish people, already with 1,000 years of revelation from God, and those Gentiles who were joining them in the new way of Christianity, who themselves brought nothing of a tradition. We see in the first reading that in order to achieve a truly peaceful life, both sides must give up something. The Gentiles ultimately don't have to follow some important, uniquely Jewish customs, but they also must make several concessions to the Jews in the areas of dietary practice and marriage between relatives. These compromises may seem to go without saying to us today, but they were extremely relevant at the time. As Leo XIV says, it is a model for how the genuine peace of Christ can rule the church by way of real dialogue, not a mere ceasefire. His words this morning in Rome, or yesterday now, oh, no, this morning, I suppose, he said that the peace must be unarmed and disarming. In what is probably the shortest apostolic letter in history, the church declares, "It is the decision of the Holy Spirit and of us." There are 50 words to this encyclical. which today can be maybe 100 or 150 pages long. This is the heart of dialogue, the recognition that neither party is completely right nor completely wrong. In Christ's peace, people have to listen to each other, consider the reasons for each other's views, and avoid making one's own views absolute. It is Christ's peace above all that is sought. And yet it must be said that this peace isn't knowable only by Catholics or even Christians. It is given to all who seek it and all peacemakers who make it. Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace to people of goodwill. The song of the angels rang out in the night of Christ's birth before anyone knew he was here, let alone had heard of his way. The vision of the heavenly Jerusalem in the second reading takes form as the city of peace by its very architecture. The chasm between the Old Testament of the Jews and the New Testament of the Christians is closed in the book of Revelation. The 12 gates are named after the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 courses of stone in the walls bear the 12 names of the apostles. In the fourth chapter of Revelation, the number of those surrounding the throne is 24. This kingdom of peace is already present, but not yet perfect. Our job in history is to be bridges of what is and to what is to come. Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus says. Theirs is the kingdom of God. At first glance, our diversity can appear as the cause of our divergence, but convergence is also possible. Divergence, or splitting apart, is often the result of a lack of self-reflection or a lack of formation in values. Tribalism is selfishness. Sometimes, perhaps, it happens by someone's evil intention. We can choose to be ignorant or indifferent. Without intentionality and discipline, we tend to stray. Jesus says, "To anyone who follows the commandment of love, the Son and the Father come to dwell, and the Holy Spirit, their bond of love, explains all the truth that Jesus has brought. The gift of the Holy Spirit who comes is not rationed, as we might be tempted to think, maybe some to this group and some to that group. There is no partial gift of the Holy Spirit, only the gift of the Holy Spirit. In our dialogue for Christian unity, maybe we have been starting at the wrong place. Rather than convincing each other that we are right, maybe we first start out finding out who each other are, focusing on that real presence of the Holy Spirit, who does not deny himself to anyone who seeks him. In our encountering one another, we can recognize one another as people of faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love, says St. Paul. Perhaps we do not find our unity in faith at first. We can, by choosing to become people united in love. Mutual hope will follow. Then we will know a genuine and lasting peace. The Holy Spirit, who is the bond of love, will enter into our diversity and transform our divergence to convergence and our longing into peace."